I ask that question if we need prayer because it's self-inflicted, and it's because sometimes we think we control everything, and we know that we don't, and we forget that at times. And so this morning, I want to ask you to participate in this, and I hope that this will help relieve some of the stress that you have in this day and tomorrow, because you'll realize it's not yours to take anyway. Okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do is to raise your right hand. Some of you already know what this is, right? I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. I being of sound mind, hereby acknowledge. I have not, nor have I ever, nor will I ever, control the universe. Therefore, I resign as general manager of the universe. Okay. Amen. Do you feel better? All right. I'm so glad you feel better. Now I'm going to ask that you continue to stand with me as we move right into our scripture time. And this morning I'm going to be with you again in Proverbs chapter 6, and I'll be reading from verse 16. If you'd like to turn there, that's fine. I think it's on the screen. It is. We're going to be in these verses for a few weeks. A lot of things to look at here, but let's hear what God's Word has to say this morning. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Father, we thank you again for the time that you have given to us today. It is a blessing. It is a joy that we can come together and to celebrate your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Father, strengthen us today in your word. Help us to see ourselves more than we see others in the faults that exist in this world. And help us, Lord, to be stronger and loving and caring and giving grace and mercy as we have so freely received from you. We ask it to your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You know, when we look at these things that are listed here for us, we, I think, can recognize very easily character flaws that people have. And sometimes we have them all the time, and sometimes we only have them for a moment. But even in a moment, we fail. And we're not the person that God wants us to be. He's not calling us to be. He's not cleaned us up from being so we could fall back into that same pit and get dirty all over again. God wants us to be a changed people, a new creation in Christ. But you know, the world is filled with a lot of people and a lot of ideas and a lot of general managers of the universe that don't always agree with us and want to participate in the things that we want to participate in. It's okay for people to be who they are. God made them and is giving them an opportunity to live their life the same as He has made us and given us an opportunity to live our life. But here is where it begins to matter. God sent His Son to save us all from sin. And He has shown us in His Word that we need saving from sin, and that those who carry the testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ, we have to learn to see what is ugly, not just in the world, but in ourselves, because that is where we begin to understand salvation and how it matters, not just to me, but to everyone. I don't need to see all of the faults in others. I need to see the faults in me. first so that I can help others that are walking in the same bad pathways that I used to walk in. And I can say to them, hey, I understand where you are because I've been there. And I understand how to get off that path because I found that same salvation in Christ myself. And then we can begin to talk and build relationships. But we have to understand, sin is ugliness in the eyes of God, and even abominations in the eyes of God. But do we understand how they are part of our own life? See, that's what matters. God's not going to ask you to tell Him what's wrong with somebody else when you stand before Him. And we shouldn't try to practice that as much as we do here. We should be loving and caring and compassionate, merciful, and uplifting while there is time. And in these abominations, you find this first item on the list that is something that is ugliness. And we've all seen it, and it's pride. This is an abomination in the eyes of God. One who has a proud look. And that's not just somebody who's satisfied with their life. That's someone who is satisfied in what they have made of their life. Okay? There's a difference when we begin to take credit for everything. And the weight of what it is we're saying. All of this is because of me. I have done everything in my life that made me who I am. I made you too, they will even say. And carry that thought out for you to realize on your own by how they brag so much about who they are. You ever been around somebody like that? I remember the earliest that I ever recognized that I was in junior high school. And we had a guy that was not the best athlete in the world, but you'd never know it to hear him say it. You ever met anybody like that? He loved to walk around and tell me, our team won today because of me. If it wasn't for me, our team would have lost. And it was all the time. It was something that he did that brought victory and made us stand out above everybody else. He was the team, not us together. And even as a middle schooler, I was like, man, I don't even want to be around this guy. Why do I got to be around this guy and listen to this? Now, I do want to take a moment to say this, though. Grandmothers and grandfathers, this does not apply to grandchildren and our bragging on them, okay? Are y'all with me on that? We just have to learn to live with that, okay? But there is something about pride that pushes boundaries with people, but especially with God. And so I want us to think about that today. What is it? What makes pride an abomination in the eyes of God? And the first thing I would tell you is this. Pride keeps people always facing away from God. The psalmist says this, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God, and God is in none of his thoughts. And so when you have pride that is just overflowing in you, it's for self. It's not for anything but for self. And God, when he's trying to reach you or help you or speak with you or guide you, and in your pride you can't see it, you can't hear it, and you aren't even caring. And God says, this is an abomination. When you just turn away from me and never give me any consideration, you never give me any thought, you never make room for me. That's an abomination. It makes us an abomination in the eyes of God. And this is what pride does to us. If you don't know an example of someone in school or in your workplace that you can reflect on what pride looks like, let me use this example. This is what pride looks like in people when they're talking about themselves and how they reflect on who they are. I want you to think about this too, because it's a flea. He's riding on the back of an elephant, He snuggles up in on his ear, and they go across a bridge. And after they get across the bridge, the flea whispers into the elephant's ear, "Did you see how we made that bridge tremble?" That flea had nothing to do with the shaking of the bridge as they walked across, do you think? But that's what pride does to people. That's how people will portray themselves when they are filled with pride. They have no humility. That's the second thing that makes it an abomination in the eyes of God. First, they aren't looking for God, and if they think God's around, they're looking the other way. And they have no humility. Listen at this. Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 18. He says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" Praying before God in the temple of God, standing next to a tax collector, in the proximity of a tax collector. And Jesus says they both began to pray. And this is the prayer of the Pharisee. He's thankful he's not like other men, especially not like this tax collector. And the tax collector standing over there, Jesus said he wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven. He just beat himself on the chest and pleaded for forgiveness. And Jesus says between the two, the tax collector went home forgiven. There's something to understand in this. It doesn't matter who we are in life. If we think we have position because of where we're at on the ladder in life, we've already fallen off the rungs. They've broken out from under us, and if we hadn't hit bottom yet, it's going to be hard when we do. It's going to hurt when we do. Pride brings with itself the inability to be a humble person. How much better would it be had the Pharisee, instead of recognizing the faults of others, could have seen the faults in himself. Instead of recognizing the unrighteousness of others, could have also seen that he wasn't just a righteous man in and of himself, but also needed the help and the forgiveness of God in life. We can't just make rules and follow rules and expect those rules are going to be the things that make us honorable in the sight of God or righteous in the sight of God. There's one thing that gets us on the foundation of being a righteous people, and that's faith in Christ. But then we have to live that faith and show the world that we trust God. We believe in God. He is our all in all. Our faith is centered in Him. I might not understand everything that is happening, but God is in control, not me. And when we can give God the praise no matter what is going on, we are learning to be a humble people. I mean, so often it's easy to say, "Look what I did," isn't it? "Look what I did." When it matters to what? To who? Aren't we trying to find our relationship with God? And aren't we trying to build that and to live in honor of God and to be the person God wants us to be? Then get rid of pride. At every moment that pride wants to rear its ugly head, say, "No, thank you, I don't want any of that," and walk away from it. Don't allow yourself to take acts of abomination before God and before the world to see. You know, Jesus said too, you show all of your glory before people and you brag on yourself, then you've gotten all the honor you're going to get. God's not going to honor you in that. Pride is an abomination because it turns people away from God, because it keeps people from being humble before others. And I'll tell you something else. If people can see this in us and be repulsed by it, what must God see and feel when pride is in us? It's been said that this is what people think about pride. Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. Think about it. Well, what does it do to God? How does it make God feel? And when you want to think about what an abomination might look like in the eyes of God, let me take a moment to see if I can try to bring some of that home to you. Because when God is looking at the world and He sees pride and He sees it as an abomination, then you are putting yourself in the same category as people who have done these kinds of things. Tell us, are you the Son of God? The high priest said. I put you under oath of the living God. Tell us. And Jesus responded, his only response in all of that interrogation, it is as you say. And the high priest ripped his clothing in the presence of the Almighty. In his pride of position in life, who he was, he thought he could dictate to God how God was supposed to be and how God was supposed to act and the things that were allowable for God to do in the lives of men. And Jesus had come and had loved and had healed and had helped and is standing in a mockery of a trial where he is being forced under oath by the high priest. Tell me. And when Jesus said, it is as you have said, he ripped his clothing. Now let me ask you something. Do you know the significance of that as I take a moment to tell you what just happened? If you go back to the Old Testament and you read in the book of Leviticus, you'll find out that there was something that a high priest was not allowed to do. And the one thing that would disqualify him from service was tearing his clothes. In shame and anger. And when the high priest ripped his clothing in front of Jesus, he was disqualified. But it's okay. The high priest to be was standing right there. And he's my high priest today, Jesus Christ. Not only was the clothing torn around the high priest, but the veil was rent in the temple when it was all said and done. Pride is what made the high priest rip his clothing. Pride is what made people gamble for the clothing of Jesus at the foot of the cross. Pride for them throwing lots, trying to figure out who was going to get this piece and who was going to get that piece. Pride is what made people stand at the foot of the cross and say to him, if you are the Son of God, come on down. If you can. This is what God sees when he sees pride in people. Rejection. A turning of the back. Refusal to believe and accept the free gift of his love and mercy through his Son Jesus Christ. This is what pride is in the eyes of God. It's ugly. It's dark. And it leads to a lonely place that none of us want to be. And I pray none of us ever find. God has a word for the proud. James tells us in chapter 4, that we should humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Don't be the Pharisee with a plank in your eye. See it and ask for God to take it and remove it and to heal you and to make you a new creation in life. And as He's making you that new creation, tell Him, Lord, oh please, Lord, dump that prideful sin out of me. That place I had reserved for it, Lord, fill it with Your presence. Lord, anything that I might claim is mine, let me also recognize it had nothing to do with me, but all had to do with You. So that my testimony is never about me, but always about You. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The Bible also says this, and I'm going to finish with this. Pride goes before the fall. How many of you know that? You've heard that many times, I'm sure. Pride goes before the fall. Pride is the darkness that leads people into eternal damnation when they can't turn and face who they are in the presence of Christ and find forgiveness. This is the darkness of pride, and this is the fall that it can bring. And I am pleading with you all today, don't let your pride put you in a place where you are refusing God. If you're refusing God, how can you ever have peace with Him? How can you ever have salvation in His Son, Jesus? How can you ever say, in all sincerity, one glad day, I'll fly away? How can we have any song of hope if we have refused God? And so I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you found forgiveness of sins? Are you a new creation? If you are and you're struggling, it's okay. God's there to help. We're here to help. And we will walk with you. And we will pray with you. But if you're lost and you've never made that step, you've never made a profession of sin, you've never asked God to heal you and to create in you a new heart and a new life, we still want to be with you and to pray with you and to walk with you. But we want you to understand there is a point in that path that you walk where you will walk on your own beyond our ability to help. And to witness. And to hold your hand. Because at some point God is going to separate us. And no longer will we have opportunity to help. And no longer will you have opportunity to ask for it. But you've got it today. You've got it right now. And I'm pleading with you. Find peace with God through Jesus Christ today while there is time. While there is time, He's calling. Will you come? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You again for grace and mercy upon our lives. Lord, that You help us, You protect us. And Lord, that we can look back in our life and see so many wonderful places where You have intervened and shown Yourself, made Yourself known, and that the promise is true that You're here even now. Lord, I pray, forgive us where we have failed You. Strengthen one who is still separated from You to find their path and peace with You. Lord, help them now. Lead them, I pray, unto salvation, as you have offered to all. And we ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come while it's time?